Dramatic pause. A dramatic pause says something without saying anything at all. Dramatic pause is a go-to for podcasters, presidents, and radio voiceovers. It makes you look really smart, even if you're not. Feet deserve a go-to like that. Like Hey Dude Shoes. Light, comfy, good to go to.
In this episode, I will be talking about renting property in Mexico. I will discuss some of the pitfalls and why you probably should rent for a significant amount of time before you ever decide to buy. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 287 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. In this episode, I'll be talking about renting a property in Mexico. I will discuss some of the pitfalls and why you should rent for a significant amount of time before you ever decide to buy. I'm not a lawyer, but I suggest you get acquainted with one if you plan to apply for residency and to review any legal documents you will be signing, including a lease. A lot of people assume that engaging with a lawyer will be expensive. It is not, and decide to do this themselves. They often turn to Facebook groups looking for advice. This is an area where learning about other people's experience is valuable. But getting legal advice is not. The legal advice you get is worth as much as you're paying for it. Nothing. I learned a lot from my lawyer when he reviewed my first lease. You have to remember, what you know about property laws and your rights in the U.S. have nothing to do with how it's done outside of the U.S. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community is a group of people from all over the U.S. and Canada with diverse backgrounds. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out, figure out what they want to do in the second half of life, and then make it happen. Many have made changes that they did not know existed or was possible when they came to the community. They learn from each other and broaden their experiences on what's really possible. Let's hear what Russ had to say about being part of the community.
At first, I got a lot out of the community, just meeting new people and finding folks in my phase of life. And that was really encouraging. As I've been in it a longer time, I'm now realizing that I have a community that knows me. And this is people who know me in a new way. And that is something that I've really come to realize that it's kind of, I don't really want to part with it. It's valuable in terms of support. It's also valuable in terms of accountability. And I find that, you know, I always get questions asked to me. I also learn things. For example, the idea of pivoting to do some online appearances is an idea that came out of a career pivot. We had an evening where we talked about how to do that. I'm also teaching classes with something called Get Set Up, and a member of the Career Pivot community kind of recruited me to come teach classes with Get Set Up. So it was a good contact. I'm over 60 and heading toward the middle of that decade, and I find that we are a unique group. Some of us, like me, don't ever have plans on retiring. We just want to find work that we love for the rest of our life.
I am recruiting new members. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to discussing renting in Mexico. Way back in episode 254, I discussed buying a home in Mexico. I gave you our perspective of what when we decided to buy a home. And one of the things I talked about was what you are buying. The process is kind of similar, but what you are buying is different. The same thing applies for renting. The property you're going to rent looks like a home you would find in the U.S., but it's really not. It's built totally differently. One of the first things you're going to discover is if you're in an expat haven, like I am on the north shore of Lake Chapala, or if you are in Playa de Carmen or Puerto Vallarta or any number of the places where large number of expats reside, you're going to find that many of the rentals will come furnished. Yes, they will come completely furnished. Well, maybe partially furnished. They will come with things like kitchens that are semi-equipped with a coffee maker, blenders, you know, silverware. Those are the things that you really, it makes it a lot easier as far as when you're coming to tiptoe your way into deciding whether you want to be an expat. It makes it a whole lot easier. One of the things is as you start visiting rentals is actually going in the kitchen. See what's in there. You're going to find very often that when it comes furnished, it's going to come with linen, towels, and other things. And now, like with us, when we moved down here, we brought a lot of our own linen. We brought all our bed sheets. And by the way, a Mexican king size bed or queen size bed is a different size than a U.S. king size or queen size bed. It's close. I don't quite understand the difference. My wife can explain that to you. The sheets, the fitted sheets will work. You will have the decision whether you're going to rent a furnished or unfurnished. My recommendation on your first rental is rent a furnished home or condo or property. We'll leave it at that. The second thing is, depending on where you are and time of year, you will find very often rentals go very, very fast. When we first moved here, we were told if you find a rental and you like it, put a deposit down. Do it fast. During the pandemic, and we moved once during the pandemic, that changed pretty dramatically. We're seeing that shift back the way it was before. Now, in much of Mexico expat communities, there are high and low seasons. The high season is typically November, December through April. By the way, that is when the Canadians descend on Mexico like locusts. Most of what they rent are short-term rentals, i.e. less than 6 months. If you're looking for a long-term rental, finding one during the winter is very difficult. Like, I just had a discussion with a gentleman whose lease was running out in February in Las Vegas. And he says, well, you know, I want to find something. And I said, well, finding something remotely to start in February is going to be really hard. What I suggested, and we've seen multiple people do this, they come down, they rent an Airbnb for 3 months, knowing that during that time, they're going to find something that they want to move into. Now, that might mean they give up some of their Airbnb. When we found our first, we jumped on it and ended up an overlap of about 3 weeks. And I just ate the cost. It's not going to be perfect. And so the other piece is, how do you find a rental? In here, if you're going to buy, there is a multiple listing service. Most of the properties on the multiple listing service for purchase. Rentals, here in Ahihi, kind of the north shore of Lake Chapala, there are a variety of companies, and the one we used is Access Lake Chapala. And we use them both for renting and for our purchase of our home. They basically act as agents, and they can show you the rentals that they have. Well, that's a small portion of the rentals available. The about half the rentals are listed by, or should say, that are available through by individuals. In other words, they may be Mexicans, they may be Americans, they may be Canadians who own property here who are renting it out. Put it bluntly, you're not going to find that on any one website. There are a variety of Facebook groups in every locality I've seen. We have a number of them here in on the North Shore of Lake Chapala, where you can go and where individuals are listing their properties for available for rent. When they list the property, they may list the rent in pesos or in dollars. So why would they do one or the other? Well, very often they list it in U.S. dollars because they are targeting expats, gringos, whatever you want to call us, and therefore they are essentially outfitted particularly for foreigners. If they're listed in pesos, usually they are targeting for a Mexican client. Now, if it says dollars, what that means is on the day you pay your rent, which usually is in cash, you will do the dollar, the peso to dollar conversion. And yes, this is important. It's really important that you learn how to understand the fluctuations of the exchange rates. And you pay for it, as I said, usually in cash. Now, back in 2018, 2019, I can tell you it could fluctuate wildly based on the then President Trump's Twitter feed. He could change the exchange rate by 5% in a day or in overnight. I'm so happy he doesn't have his Twitter feed anymore. But it means that what you actually pay may fluctuate from month to month. Not a huge amount, but it does make a difference. Also, when you start looking at in the lease, it may include electricity. It may not. It may include propane and internet or not. It may include a maid and a gardener. Well, you have to understand what's important to you and what are you willing to pay for. Every property we rented, we paid the electricity, we paid the propane. The first property we got, there was already internet installed. It was pretty crappy Telmex ADSL support. At the second property we rented, I contracted to get a fiber optic service, which took months to get installed, and I paid for it. Now, the internet services here are usually pretty inexpensive. I pay like $30 to $40 a month for decent internet. So you've decided on a piece of property that you want to rent. And with your discussions with the landlord or the leasing agent, they will offer you a lease. I highly recommend you take that lease and take it to a lawyer. One, to make sure you understand it, because when I got my first lease, the lease was written where the left side column was in Spanish and the right side column was in English. By the way, for a lease to be legal in Mexico, it has to be written in Spanish. When I took it to my lawyer, he only read the Spanish side. And he basically told me that it didn't match the English side because there was a lot of cutting and pasting being done. Now, there wasn't anything evil done there, but it's just leases are different. Now, when you rent a property here in Mexico, by law, the landlord doesn't have to fix squat if it doesn't affect health or safety. In other words, if the refrigerator goes out, it's your responsibility to replace it. All the leases I signed were pretty much stock leases. And one of the things they said was, if there was a repair for less than 900 pesos, which at the time was about $45. I was responsible for it. If it was more than 900 pesos, the landlord was responsible for it. Now, as you'll quickly find, not all landlords are equal. It's not uncommon. I've rented both of my rentals. I had a Mexican landlord. And my first one was a bit of a pain in the butt to deal with. But he was okay. My second one, actually, she was very nice. It was that she was managing the property for a son who lived someplace else. I didn't have really any problems. And like when we first moved in, when you first sign the lease, you have so many days to find, to inform the landlord if something is broken so they can go fix it. I found three different light fixtures that did not work. She sent over her handyman, who was a 70-year-old guy who lived two doors down. He replaced all of them. And I asked him who, he asked me whether who should pay. And I said, go to my landlord. And I asked him, how much would it be? And he said, 160 pesos, $8. And that included all the parts, everything. I just paid him. In fact, I paid him double. In other words, you're going to find that getting people to fix things are very inexpensive. When you read your lease and you go with your lawyer, you will quickly discover things like, is the internet and the telephone provided? What are the requirements for you to pay before you can move in? It's very typical you pay 1 month deposit, you pay the first month's rent, and if it's a one-year lease, you pay the last month's rent. So if you break the lease, you're going to lose your security deposit and the last month's rent. Read the lease carefully. You will learn stuff. I found a number of things in the lease that made me go, that was interesting. When you're paying your rent, do not be surprised that you pay in cash. This is one of the things I thought, well, why don't I just pay electronically? Both of my landlords would not accept electronic payments because they want to keep it off the books. And this is very, very common. What this means is understanding the exchange rates, how you're going to manage it. I maintain almost all my money in the U.S. I have a Mexican bank account. I use Wise.com to transfer money down periodically when the exchange rate is in my favor. Now, that doesn't help you much when what you pay is based in U.S. dollars. A lot of people say, well, when it's priced in U.S. dollars, do I pay them U.S. dollars? The answer is no. You pay in pesos and you essentially transfer. You figure out how much you pay on the day in which you pay your rent. One of the mistakes I made was when you leave your rental, when I left the first rental, we didn't put it back into pristine condition. That is what is expected. You are to leave the rental because the rental, if it's furnished, has all this stuff. And one of the things I did when I left my last rental before we moved into the home that we're in now is I actually paid my landlord's daughter roughly equivalent to $150, and she scrubbed the place. Spent 3 days cleaning everything. Well, that did two things. Number one, it made sure the place was pristine. And two, it made for good relations in departing with my landlord. And by the way, when you move in, the landlord or the rental company is likely to do an inventory. That is, they're going to take pictures of everything in the house, everything in the kitchen, everything that, you know, all the other stuff, the linens, the appliances. And when you leave, you're supposed to leave everything as it was. And they can usually provide you pictures. This includes things like you may have removed artwork off the wall and put up your own artwork or other things like that. When, as I said, when I left my last rental, it was in perfect condition or as close to perfect condition as possible. As we were moving out, there were some minor plumbing issues, i.e. some leaky sinks, under the sink. And I just, rather than pay someone, I just went down to the local ferreteria, which is the hardware store, bought the parts and replaced them. But the big thing is, because all these repairs were under 900 pesos, I was responsible for them. And the mistake I made when I first moved in was we had some leaky faucets. I mean, drip, drip, drip in the bathrooms. I didn't ask her to fix it. Technically, I should have. When we moved into our house, one of the things we found was the kitchen sink dripped and had a number of problems. I just replaced the faucet. I hired my handyman to just simply replace it, and that was nice and easy. Whether you buy or rent, one of the interesting ones is almost every house here, well, I won't say every house here, every apartment has a propane tank. And it may be a standalone propane tank that gets replaced, or it may be a tank on your roof, or in my case, it's at the front of my property, where it periodically needs to be refilled. So there are companies that go around, you'll hear them with their loudspeakers, they will do that. This is one of the challenges is I first started out with one propane company and I would call them. And of course, all they did was speak Spanish. And I would call them and sometimes they'd show up, sometimes they wouldn't. The propane guy I use now, Carlos, who's with one of the major companies, I text him on WhatsApp. And yes, WhatsApp is your preferred communications. And I text him and I ask him when he can show up. He'll tell me and he shows up. And you can pay the propane bill either in cash or most of them will take a debit card or a credit card. I pay mine using my debit card from my Mexican bank. You'll soon discover paying electric bills is totally different. I do not pay my electric bill online. In fact, I pay my electric bill in advance, mostly because my electric bill is so low that I'm like right now, I'm about to go down to the CFE, which is the name of the Mexican electric company, and I will pay my latest bill and I will pay 1,000 pesos in advance, which should take me through the middle of next year. And by the way, 1,000 pesos is $50. So, and that's a year's worth of electricity. So I just pay that so I don't have to deal with it. Hopefully that's given you an idea. Please rent before you buy. We did a number of Airbnbs where we did in different parts of town. We did it during different times of year. We actually had two different rentals. So we knew when we decided we were looking to purchase, we knew where we wanted to be, what was important to us. In our case, we wanted to be in the village. We wanted to where my wife could walk easily to Mexican shops where she can buy vegetables, meats, whatever. All that was in walking distance. You also have to understand that in general, Mexico is a loud place. In other words, whether it's the roof dogs, whether it's the cohetes, which are the bottle rockets, whether it is the festivals, varies based on the time of year. Also, understanding that there are certain places during the rainy season where the mosquitoes are much worse. Where I am, there is very little standing water. There are other areas around where there the roads aren't as, because they're all cobblestone, they're not as well maintained. And during the rainy season, there tend to be standing water, which are breeding grounds for mosquitoes. These are all, you have to decide what's important to you. And you won't figure that out until you're here. Renting and moving around is a great way of doing it. Now, moving around is pretty easy because hopefully you're not moving very much furniture. In both occasions, well, when we moved from our first rental into our second rental, we hired someone to move my wife's plants because that's really all we needed to move. Everything else we could move in our car. The only other big item we had was our giant cat tree, which we had made. In fact, I just got repaired after 4 years from a gentleman who was almost 80 years old. That's a side business. He makes cat trees. He makes a variety of different things. And that will fit barely in the back of my Subaru Outback. If you don't have a car, then yeah, maybe you'll hire one of the local moving companies. The moving companies are very, very inexpensive. But in both cases, when we moved into the house, I had someone come in and move our plants, our big, huge pots. So hopefully that gives you an idea of why the difference in renting. Personally, when we signed our first lease here, I hadn't signed a lease since 40 years plus, 45 years. I didn't know what was involved in leasing, renting a place anymore. It'd been a long time. So we made a few mistakes, but hiring the lawyer really helped. So with that, hopefully you know more about why you would want to rent and how you would go about finding a rental and what renting really means. I hope you learned something from that episode. Based on the feedback from the latest survey, I'll be increasing the frequency of these expat episodes. In a couple of weeks, I'll publish an episode on being a digital nomad, which will be based on the webinar I gave for Flex Jobs in August. This will focus on being a digital nomad, both from staying in the U.S. and becoming an expat. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You'll get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. I publish my latest white paper, Ageism, the Last Acceptable Bias. If you subscribe to the newsletter, you will have the opportunity to download it. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-287. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places that podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. I hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
JBL knows music and sound are the ways you express yourself and connect with the world. For the past 75 years, they've dared you to vibe your way with a wide and colorful range of JBL products. From true wireless headphones for catching your favorite podcast on the go, to a pulsing party box to crank at your next house party, JBL wants you to listen on your terms, living in the moment, your moment. Dare to listen at JBL.com.